providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Time for the second half of the Cortland Economics Report. We're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about Putin's biggest political mistake. That's called Ukraine. We're also going to talk about the consequences to the United States if mainland China decides to get back, for lack of better terms, Taiwan. Jimmy, let's start out with the Ukraine. What do you think Putin's ultimate plans are at this point?
Okay, Al. So, yeah, so I go back, and again, for those new listeners, I'm a Russian foreign area officer, Russian, Eastern European, Central Asian. So I've got a lot of experience. I've lived there. I've worked there, did a lot of different things. And when I look at the strategy, I think there were four things that Putin wanted. The first was he wanted a pro-Moscow subservient leadership in Kiev, a government that supported Russian objectives.
Right.
Second, he wanted to stop NATO expansion into the region. The third, he wanted to protect his Black Sea fleet in Sevastopol, in the Crimea. And the fourth was he needed to send a message as like Western European influences were working their way east towards him to any of the former Soviet republics of not getting too close to the EU and NATO. And the examples were what happened in Georgia in 2008 with his invasion there, and of course Ukraine in 2014 and the eastern areas in the civil war that's been going on there for a long time. It worked in Georgia for a while. The other part of it is he wanted to protect Lukashenko, the Belarusian leader, because he was under intense pressure from Western influences and some of the, in his most recent election. So a lot of this was in order to stop the flow of West to East. Any strategist with half a brain, it would have been clear that NATO, and this has become a NATO-Russia proxy war, there's no doubt about it. But anybody looking from a wise perspective on the Russian side should have realized that it would work, that NATO would get involved and the European Union would get involved. And here are the three reasons why I think. NATO had been working in Ukraine since 1993 to modernize its military. The Ukraine military was an ally who fought with NATO in Afghanistan and in Iraq with the U.S.-led coalition there. So that's one. Number two, in 2019, regardless of whether you agree with it or not, Zelensky won a massive majority election, 73% of the vote, and his parliament was almost completely pro-EU, pro-NATO, with the exception of the breakaway areas. European leaders would never accept that election being overturned by force. And the only way that I think the Biden administration would allow that to continue, remember, they said that if Russia moved and just took the east, maybe it wasn't a problem. He said that in February, just before the invasion. But the only way the Biden team would have accepted it is if, in fact, they killed Zelensky very early, wiped out that government. Then there may have been some acceptance, and the EU and NATO probably wouldn't have been involved. But they failed at that. The Russians failed at that. And then new NATO members, former East Bloc nations, the third reason why anybody with a brain would have realized it would have never worked. They absolutely despise the influence Russia has. They loathe the intimidation and what had happened from the former Soviet days. And those new NATO members, former East Bloc nations, would never allow this to go forward for any length of time. So those strategies were a huge mistake by Putin not to realize that this would evolve into a NATO proxy war with his forces. And of course, we're seeing the results of that with stalemate after 11 months.
Yeah. You know, what I find to be interesting is in the comments section a couple of days ago, some of our listeners disagree with the fact that Ukraine really is a proxy war today between the West, between Ukraine and the West. I think it is.
Well, I think there's no question it is, and I think that there's a lot of propaganda from both sides, and that's just the reality of war, unfortunately. But here's the problem that Putin's facing. He's having to replace his leadership command again this week. He just fired General Savorkin. He had only been there for about 3 months. He replaced him with the MOD chief of staff. So the head of the military is now commanding the war in Ukraine. That guy is named Valery Gerasimov.
Yeah.
Gerasimov was actually in Ukraine. He was part of the operations early on. And back in 2014, but actually in May, he was almost killed. He was wounded by an artillery strike, I think it was right at the end of May, in Ukraine. And of course, apparently, according to some reporting, the United States said, hey, you can't kill this guy, the chief of staff, it would be a problem. So very interesting situation there. But the problem is, there's a fight going on between the Ministry of Defense and this guy named Evgeny Prigozhin, the guy that runs the mercenary group, Wagner Group. And Wagner Group is the one group that has been making a tiny bit of headway in this Soledar, this small area outside of Bakhmut this week, mm-hmm. that got a lot of headlines. And he's claiming that, in fact, his forces alone were able to take ground, and he's the only one capable of it. He's publicly demeaning Ministry of Defense officials in the Putin regime, the Putin administration. That's a very precarious position to be in. He has a lot of political influence. He's a close confidant of Putin. He was his former chef. He's a contractor. And then he has this mercenary group. But ultimately, it would be like Eric Prince of Blackwater telling Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, that, hey, your generals are incompetent. How long is that going to last?
Not very long.
Russian system. He's got maybe 40,000 troops, the Wagner group does. The MOD is probably a bit tired of it. So the problem with Gerasimov, the new commander down there, it's a problem that is going to stagnate, and it's going to be very difficult to overcome for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Even as they mass for potentially a spring offensive with another 100, 150,000 troops, and that's what it looks like maybe happening. The problem with that, Al, is if they begin another major offensive movement, the Ukrainians go back into digging in holes with a massive amount of Western anti-tank armor in small areas. It'd be very difficult for the Russians to sustain that effort for any length of time. So tactically, it's going to be a challenge no matter what. And that means stagnation right now or potential moves back and forth that really just kill a lot of people.
Now, Jimmy, if I'm not mistaken, the emergence of the Wagner group is a relatively recent phenomenon.
Yeah, so he's been hiring them since Syria. It's been a while. Basically, I mean, this is like every bad guy movie you can imagine.
Yeah.
So very influential. They do a lot of operations specifically for the Putin regime. There's probably some assassination. Well, we know there's some assassinations. And he's on the international most wanted list, you know, from the...
Yeah,
so very, very dangerous guy. So,
yeah, he is a very dangerous guy, actually. A lot of those guys over there, if not most of them, are very dangerous guys.
Well, let me say what I think is going to happen. Because this fight, you've got this internal fight right now. Things go on in Moscow. It's not a public, open debate, right? So this is going on behind the scenes. There is a power struggle going on.
Yeah.
And the problem is Putin, over time, does not have the industrial capacity, the economic power, the influence to actually make a difference to change the outcome of this war unless of a couple things happen. One, he'd have to increase his full-scale mobilization. Public would be very much against that. They were against the last mobilization. He'd have to get direct involvement from China, Iran, or Belarus. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough. And nuclear war is really unacceptable for all sides. And I don't think he's going to make a dumb decision like that because it would sacrifice everything. So his problem is things are going to get ugly there politically in Moscow behind the scenes. And we may see some crazy things happen in the next few months. I'm predicting that you're going to see some real challenging issues behind the scenes in Moscow.
And on that note, we got to take a commercial break. Going to be right back to wrap this up.